Welcome to Come and See, your podcast for finding truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. With host and founder, Richard Case, and co-host and retreat leader, Kathy Riccone. Today is our special guest day, where we will hear from a friend in the ministry who will share their insight and stories on truth in this chaotic world. And now your host, Richard Case.
Well, good morning, everybody. This is Guest Thursday, and this is now part two with Caleb and Liv Riccone, who obviously is related to Kathy and Dan Riccone.
Yes.
So it's exciting to have you on. Last time, if you haven't listened to it, is go back and listen to how they grew up, how they came to know each other, go to college together, then get married and start their careers. Caleb's in financial and with sales and mutual funds. And Liv is a area representative for FCA and starting chapters there. How many chapters are in the area, Liv?
We have six now.
Okay, great. And your role is to keep helping them grow and then go start new ones, right?
Correct.
Yeah. Well, and she out, this is the mom brag moment still, but there were none when she stepped into this role. So this is the last year what God has done, blessing the efforts and just what he has laid out for them has been incredible, the growth that has taken place. But again, you know, I think sometimes if you're listening and you're from down south or even out in Colorado and whatever, you are very comfortable and used to seeing FCA is everywhere. That's just not the Northeast. So she is on a true mission field here. And the fact that there are now six thriving huddles is incredible.
Well, and tell me if I'm wrong, yeah. All but one are, like, there's one of those six is part of a Christian school, but the rest are within public or secular schools, which I think is pertinent. You know, this landscape.
Yeah. How are the kids doing as they're starting to get involved with these huddles?
Yeah. Great. I've heard lots of stories recently. Our first huddle we started last March, this past March, at a public high school, actually in our town, in Beverly, Massachusetts. And we're having around 20 kids show up 7:30 before school on a Thursday and get into the word together. But I'm not always able to be there. The school says I can come in every so often. And so I don't get to know the kids who are coming. The whole goal is to funnel them into local churches.
Right.
Reading the word and then going into local churches. But I've heard stories that kids are either coming back to their faith after a long time because of the FCA club, or coming to hear about Jesus for the first time, or receiving their first Bible for the first time. And so just really cool stuff that, you know, I'm blessed to be able to have a front row seat to it. That's ultimately what it is. Like, the Lord is moving in crazy ways, and I'm just trying to be a tiny little vessel to that. Yeah,
and it's really cool too, to watch. She and Kayla both have a heart for youth. And so they volunteer in our youth program at our church as well. But both of them, they just went to their first Abide retreat maybe a year ago as a married couple, but both of them have learned to abide prior to that. And so what's really fun for me as a mom is to watch, like, as they are discipling people, they're teaching people how to really connect with Jesus and how to abide with him. And God has given them all kinds of connection points to truly disciple people and connect them to God's word. And they're just doing it beautifully.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Yeah. And as we share these Guest Thursdays, the audience loves to hear practical ways of how did you learn to abide? What does that look like for you individually and then as a couple? And then you can tell us maybe as you've sorted things out of receiving God's will, what cool things have happened. So maybe first of all, you just, Caleb, you just share a little bit about what does, and abiding is the relationship. So what does that look like in the word for you, journaling, and how does that work for you to abide with him?
Yeah. No, yeah, for sure. Well, for me, I mean, you know, there was a demonstrative aspect of me learning to abide because it was something that I always saw from my parents, which was cool and a blessing. And we've been through the abide material with as a couple with my parents, which is great. And so that's pretty much how I learned it. Lots through just osmosis of living in the house for so long and seeing it on display, and then more practical teaching on it and my own reading and whatnot. And then the way it manifests now, I mean, as best I can, at least daily time seeking out the Lord, especially around decisions. We've been trying to be pretty good about that, bringing things to his feet, trivial or not. And I think we've done, I mean, there was a lot of, especially leading up to the wedding and stuff, a lot of abiding that we had to do and a lot of trust for things like housing and job, all sorts of things. And then now even to us getting our puppy was a long abiding process where the Lord had to do a lot to line things up and even, you know, helped us work with the landlord to get the dog in here. It worked out well. And it was something, a desire that we highlighted on our abide retreat. So all that's to say is we do try to do in our individual time with the Lord and then regular meetings together where we go over what the Lord's been teaching, you know, come together over a passage and discuss and we write out a handful of questions that we're trying to pray through and seek guidance on, and then try to regularly come together as we hear guidance there and hopefully come to unity on those topics. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Neat. Liv, how about you? Any other thoughts on how that works for you?
Yeah. I'm a big journaler, like Kathy. and so that's where I like to write out my prayers, and through that I can see the Lord just speaking different things. You know, I try to, this is something that I think I've learned since being around the Racone family more, is leaving time to listen to God. I always grew up, you know, pray, you know, but what about the listening aspect? And it's a two-way conversation. And so that's something that I've tried to, you know, do in my time with the Lord in the morning is, you know, I'll pray and then I'll just kind of sit and be still and let him speak as he wants to speak. Some days it's more than others, just being consistent to sit and be still. And then in terms of us, yeah, I think we go, this has been a very good season as the Lord, you know, if it feels like when there's bigger decisions, you're kind of reminded that we need to abiding on decisions. As things have been highlighted, we're you know, being more consistent and just very intentional about talking through the specific questions. And that's been very life-giving. And I'm like, why don't we do this about everything? Because it's so awesome to see how he's talking to Caleb about the same thing. And then, yeah, seeing the overlap is really cool.
Do you have, as you think about, you know, your experiences over the last several years, what kind of decisions, things that you've had to deal with that you could share with us, how you approached it and what God did to reveal his answers to you?
Mm-hmm. That's a good question. I'm trying to think of a good, I'll share like I referenced some of the job and housing stuff. For me, something interesting was career. Because like I said, I guess this would have been last week's taping. I was interning out in Colorado with Rich and kind of had desires to go in the more analytical side of finance. And I felt like heading into that internship, the Lord was saying like, it's really the people you're going to meet out there is going to help you dictate your career. And I kind of, you know, how you assume, you know, what God's talking about, assume that, you know, it'd be people I met at the company with Rich, or maybe even more with Rich. And although everyone there was helpful and Rich was helpful, it really ended up being the guy I just happened to be living with out there, who had this whole career in what I do now that I was not privy to at all. And just as the days went on, it became more and more attractive, such that he introduced me to someone at the company I'm at. He told me there's no other place to apply. So I didn't. I only applied to the one job, and I got it. So it worked out. It worked out very nicely. It was just like a fun little, and then after all of it, God reminded me of like, see, it was always the people who I was bringing you out to in Colorado. It's just not what I was expecting.
Sure.
And yeah, so that's one way of just, you know, in constant prayer and seeking after the Lord, like he's brought little things like that, that he then, you know, develops trust with you by fulfilling.
Yeah. Can you share a little bit, just because I remember it being a fun story, watching the two of them pray about Beverly, Massachusetts is not an inexpensive place to live. There's nothing about that is inexpensive yet. And they can share a little bit more. They very strongly felt like that was where God was calling them to be. And so there was a journey of abiding and asking him, okay, where is our first apartment going to be? And then him walking into it and providing beyond what you could imagine. And so maybe share a little bit about that story, and don't be afraid to share the details of how God led in that, because I think that's an encouraging thing to the listeners, just to hear kind of the process of bringing a question before him and journaling it out, and then how God provided.
Yeah. And the first part of that would be, Kathy said that you both felt that Beverly was an area that you were called to. Talk about that a little bit, because before you even found a specific place, he had to say, well, kind of look at this area. And what was it about that led you to feel that way?
Do you want to start?
Yeah, I'll just say I wanted to be close to the beach. That was a desire. I love just laying on the beach. So the beach was a very attractive thing for me.
Honestly, our church is one town over, which is important. We went to school the other town over.
Yeah. It's funny looking back, because I don't really know, but now it's so clear that we're supposed to be here. The ministry that's going on and everything.
We've grown to love the town, but back on it, I mean, we didn't know most of the places. We didn't spend a lot of time down here. We just had a heart for Beverly. It also made practical sense. We assumed I would get a job in Boston, so being near the train station.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
I think your community, too. There was a lot of strong community. I think about the Tonons. They're very close with the Tonons. And them being in Beverly, too. It seemed like those factors at least influenced, right? Or raised, put it on your radar.
Sure. Yeah, for sure. And I'm remembering now, Beverly was something put on our hearts. And then we had a kind of a litmus test that we felt like God had given us of our desires for housing and what God wants for us for housing. What are those things such that when we find an apartment, it needs to hit all the filters before we waste our time doing it. And I don't remember all of them, but among them were hostability. We wanted Beverly as a location. I'm trying to remember what else was on there. We wanted to feel comfortable, you can get really noisy around here, really old buildings, thin walls. I think that was maybe on there. I'd be interested to pull up the exact list, but whatever it was, we had those filters.
Is that something, by the way, that you both spent time kind of working through and writing down and saying, this is what would be important to us?
Yeah. We came together and brought it to the Lord and we're like, okay, what is important to us? I think he intentionally didn't bring things to mind that maybe would have been preferences, because we ended up getting an apartment that checked all of our boxes, which is great. And we've loved it. But on the first glance, it was so small and we never put anything about size on it. Small. And it still is. We have no room for anything, but that wasn't something that we were called to be concerned with. So we were like, all right. So our bed takes up, you can hardly even step off the side. It's against the office is a utility closet.
Talk about how you saw this listing before.
Yeah. So months before it was time to move in, we were looking at apartments, which is hard because most of the start dates are the month after. And one thing we did know about Beverly was our favorite coffee shop, Kid Dream. And it's, they lease the space below and then above is all apartments. And one came up on Zillow and it was reasonably in our price range, but this was months before we could start. And we were like, oh my gosh, this is so perfect. And we asked for is there any chance you can start in February? And they were like, no, okay, that's fine. And months go by and we liked a couple apartments. One was we really, really liked, but it was pricey. And so we decided not to apply for that one. It felt like the Lord was telling us these things, waiting. And then we're kind of reaching crunch time.
Week before.
Yeah, you guys were getting pretty close to the wedding at this point, right?
Week before the wedding.
In the same exact unit from before, or at least same exact building as before, comes up. And we're like, February 1 start date? And they're like, yep. And we went and toured it. And it was funny because we went, one of our favorite things, we can see the sunset right over town from our porch. And when we toured it, it was a realtor's dream of the sun was setting right into the apartment. and it hit all of our boxes. It was really small. It still is really small. But we were like, great. That's it. And then a week before the wedding, Lord, they got back to us. They're like, you got the apartment. It's really difficult in Beverly. We have no credit. And Liv didn't have a job. I had a job,
hadn't started yet.
I mean, I wasn't making any money. And so it was I don't know. We just got it. They gave it, they liked us or something. It was provided. And it's hard to get apartments around here. So it was unbelievable. And the next week we got married and then.
That's great. Yeah. And that's how, when we talked about desires of your heart, it's syncing up with what is true for each of us. You know, so as a couple, there's certain things that were true. If we walk with God, we just accept that as true. We don't demand it, and we don't chase it ourselves, but we do talk to God about it. That's what you guys did. You know, like, here's a list. Here's things that are important to us. And God said, well, I'd like to give that to you.
Right. Yeah.
And it's remarkable, you know, that you did. And that's where you're still living now, right?
Yeah. Same spot. Same spot. We love
it. Right over their favorite coffee shop.
Yeah. Do you get a discount at the coffee shop?
No, but sometimes they give us free coffee.
Yeah. We're cool with the guy who owns it and a couple of the employees. And they'll be nice for the most part.
Yeah. Well, in your work, is there anything else that God has helped you understand? You know, Caleb, either about your work or live now with your, you know, taking a place that has no huddles to starting to have huddles. You know, obviously God's at work there. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, it's been fun to translate like abiding in my personal life to abiding in my ministry. And that's really the foundation to it. And you know, I've learned a lot, I feel like, in this last year, and, you know, kind of, because I'm the only person over this area and I don't have many volunteers. And so a lot of it is on me. Right. Yeah. So with that comes responsibility and making sure that, you know, I am being led by God in the decisions I make. I don't want them to just be, you know, decisions I make on a whim. Right. I want to make sure I'm asking God before I make a decision. And so that's been cool to see, you know, him bring, because a big thing is like the student leaders. Like, I can't start a huddle without student leaders. And so, you know, it starts with, all right, Lord, like, show me where the student leaders are. Bring me to those churches that have the student leaders. And then from there, like, put it a desire in one of these kids' hearts to be bold and want to lead. And then from there, like, stepping into it and having discernment of, okay, are they ready to lead? And asking God about that, to then launching it and seeing the fruit from them stepping out in boldness and leading. So just the whole process of the ministry, you really just got to be hand in hand with God. And so, yeah, that's been stretching, sometimes overwhelming, to, you know, make sure I don't get in a productive mindset.
Right.
Wanting to just do before being with Jesus and asking him. Because a lot of, you know, the first thing I'm told is not, okay, go. Yes, they say pray for the ministry, but like, part of your workday is to be with Jesus and ask him about this. And if you come up to this challenge, like, don't try to just work, like, mm-hmm. take a moment, like, bring it to God and pray about it. And so it's taught me a lot in that aspect of productivity and wanting to just do before mm-hmm. being, I don't know.
Well, and it's interesting too, to watch it in action, because if part of your workday is, you know, spending time with the Lord, you guys know you can't rush the Lord's answer if he doesn't want to. Sometimes you just have to take time. So it takes a lot of security and lives time with Jesus to be able to sign off on a week and be like, this is what I did. Like, if this much was spent time with Jesus, I have nothing to show for it, then so be it. Because if you're earnestly seeking the Lord, I mean, what else are you meant to do, especially in a ministry role? Where it's a lot easier for me to, like, oh, I did this many things. You know, it's interesting to, I don't know, it's fun to watch, and it's good to see her security and confidence. It shows, like, what you really believe. It's like, you believe there's value in spending time with Jesus, then you're going to value it and put time into it. So it's fun to see her operate. Yep. That mindset and work.
Yeah. And how has it worked, Liv, as you know, you're talking to kids, you're asking God to show you leaders, someone who's willing to step into that place. What does that feel like and look like as it's occurring, that you're evaluating, talking? Because you're not saying, okay, I got to go find somebody. You're just saying, Father, lead me to who you have. How do you start to recognize who God has for you?
Yeah. So a few times kids have come to me. The Lord just sent them to me. A few times I've seen, some of the kids are from our youth group that we're youth leaders at. And so we've already kind of built relationship with these kids and have seen them demonstrate leadership in the youth group. And so kind of seeing their identifying, yeah, just, you know, characteristics, like in small groups, speaking up and wanting to share and things like that. So that's been part of it. I'm trying to think who else for my leaders.
I mean, some volunteer, like I think of Dylan at Salem State. That's a pretty cool story.
Yeah, he kind of got brought to me. A lot of them, now that I think about it, were just handed to me.
What is cool is watching too, Olivia disciple them. And really learning, like we've had lots of conversations about what it is to connect them to Jesus. And even she's been learning a lot about not connecting them so much to her and making them dependent on her, but really what is it to connect them to Jesus and help them learn to abide, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's been huge. That's been a learning, like I said, I've learned so much this past year, but that's a big one, like this, you know, savior complex that you can easily, you know, get into, but I've had to step back as I've seen girls that I'm discipling, their only spiritual intake is me. Like they're meeting with me every week. And it's like, that's not what I want. I'm going to let you go and spend time with Jesus and see him as your savior.
Yes. Not yeah. Yeah. So that's right.
Do some of that.
Yeah. That'll really serve you well. What's, as you look into 2025, what are some of the things that you're looking for in terms of just keep growing in your careers and your marriage? Is there any big decisions coming up? What's your thought about next year?
Yeah. Funny you ask, because we've been just the last 2 weeks really been trying to come to a neutral place. We feel like we're in a preparatory season for whatever God has for us next. And it's been revealed to us that we're not neutral to our own desires, whether they be like from the Lord or not, around things. And so a large part of that is in my work, one of the career paths, kind of like this, if with the role I'm in now is a launching pad, one of the ways you can go, the company's pushed me towards a lot would involve relocation. And so we're just trying to pray through. Literally, we were just talking to my mom and dad about this on Sunday, more and more, just in the early stages of processing how we approach that decision, because it kind of looks more like, you know, I tell them I'm ready to go and then they tell me where, and that's daunting in a lot of ways. And we want to be, if we do that, which neither of us kind of want to really, but we know it's an opportunity that will arise, you know, as we're kind of discerning between our opportunities and our assignments. It's something we want to be neutral towards. And the Lord brought us to a verse in Genesis when Abraham's called and says, the Lord called Abraham and said, leave your country and your people and your father's household. And so now we're at this point where it's like, okay, country. So we love, like we said, we love Beverly. We have a heart for here. Said, okay, well, Lord, like I know I'm not neutral to for live. It's the beach for me. It's, you know, although I love the restaurants and the culture here. Like I like the weather enough here. And so, yeah, Lord, bring us to the point where we're willing to send, where you could send us to whatever geography you want to, we would go. And then the second one is people, right? And these are all good things too, like our church and our friends. We have a good, I think, church life, and we have good friends, but we want to be willing to surrender that to the Lord. And the last one's father's household. And we kind of take that to be family, but also the comfort and support that comes with family. And that was the case for Abraham. He had to leave all of his kind of riches and whatever he had going on behind. And so we're just praying, like, Lord, bring us to neutral, like on these things, make it such that even though family is a good thing and the support here is a good thing, that we would be just willing and have the ears to hear a call away from that.
But yeah. It came on quickly, like this sense of there's going to be some sort of shift or some sort of decision. But I think we both started feeling that sense at the same time. It wasn't anything necessarily that happened. It was just something that the Lord started stirring in us.
Yeah.
Share a little bit what you were sharing on Sunday, because this is interesting, I think, in the process of what you guys are processing about how God highlighted to you. I want you to actually look at those three things and about the surrender scale. Because I think that's a great visual for people to kind of latch onto.
So I was just thinking about and praying through those three things, and God stopped me and was like, well, let's see where you're at. Like, look at each one and, you know, rate it a 1 to 10, 10 being most surrendered, 1 being not surrendered at all, and think through like the things that are making you not surrender it. And so, you know, I went through and pretty low on all of that. But if I'm like thinking through, I'm like, oh, like it really is the beach that I have a huge desire for. And that's something I'm like very unwilling to give up. I don't want to be landlocked in Colorado. If it wasn't this area, it would be Colorado.
That's right. That's right.
But yeah, just going through those, the ranking and understanding what it was that's holding me back was very helpful.
I haven't ranked mine yet, to be fair. Maybe I ought to. But it is like reflecting on each one. You don't really like, I don't know, kind of in the back, we just ignored it for so long. Of like, we knew that there would probably one day have to be a choice of like, okay, are we willing to relocate or are we not? And like, what does that entail for us and our family? But then when it stares you in the face and God's like revealing like, hey, you're not surrendered on these things. We really feel like he's just trying to prepare us to go, to be ready to do whatever he calls us to do. And it was very clear that we weren't ready for that in any position to be neutral on those three things. And so for me, it's like, I think about location and I realize like, I was pretty, I think I'm open. Like, I love the idea of going to a cool place like Colorado, a beach town in like North Carolina or whatever it is. But there's some places where I like, I won't want to step on anyone's toes, but there's some state that I'd be like, absolutely, I do not want to live in, you know, whatever place. I don't want to hurt anyone's feelings, but there's some places that just are like, what is even happening there?
See, that's how God's voice works right now. God's saying, don't say it.
Yeah. Yeah, now. You guys living in that place.
That's right. Yeah. Well, so, you know, when you go to neutral, it's just a process of working through it to where you come to a place where, you know, his will is best and none better. And you say, not my will, but yours. Remember, Jesus had to do three times in the Garden of Gethsemane, you know, so it's not like it's sure automatic. Intellectually, it is. But it's got to be a hard thing. And you just got to walk with it, you know. And the neat thing, and we'll have you back because we'll all get to see this, is see, God already knows the answer.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
You actually just have to receive it. So I would urge you, don't try to figure it out. And don't try to presume, well, perhaps it's going to look like this and I got to put up with that. There's all kinds of things between here and there. Mm-hmm. It's really just starts with, are you willing to go? So we'll pray for that. So thank you for sharing that. I think we all deal with that issue is, you know, particularly when we are kind of settled and then the thought of going somewhere new means we're going to be in a different, you know, environment. It is a little bit, you know, just edgy, so to speak, to think, gosh, we have all that we love here. Why would we want to go somewhere mm-hmm. else? You know, and God, by the way, doesn't say I'm actually forcing you to go yet. Don't worry about it. I'll let you know. So mm-hmm. thank you for sharing that. Heavenly Father, we just pray over them right now that this is a big thing. It's typical of young couples where particularly career opportunities come up and it means change. It's hard to release that. It's hard to go to neutral. So I just pray that they have the heart to get there. I pray that they will, that you will help them surrender. And then you'll start to lead them on your path because you already know the answer. And by the way, it's spectacular. And so we just pray that they'll receive that, not try to figure it out and not fret about it, but rather walk into it. And we praise you in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you so much for joining us, guys. I'm glad everybody got to meet my middle child and his wife. Exciting just to let everybody see the family. But if you have questions from today's broadcast, be sure to send them in to us at questions@abideministries.com. And just as you're thinking about us, you've heard stories today, remember to be praying for Caleb and Olivia and to be praying for Olivia's FCA ministry out here on the North Shore, because God has spoken some beautiful promises over that right now. And we really do just believe he is in the middle of a big work in these student lives. And Caleb and Olivia are on the front lines of that right now. So just continued prayers and prayers for their financial support as they continue, continue to grow the ministry there too.
Yep. Yep. And we'll have you back soon after you work this through, whatever God's answer is, we'd love to have it back and share what happened. That's everybody is going to pray for that. And we're excited to see God's answer. So awesome. Thank you guys. Look forward to it. See you soon.
See you next time.
All right. Yep. Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining us for today's episode of Come and See, your podcast for truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. Send us your questions and comments and tune in tomorrow for more answers to your personal questions about living life in God's truth. Remember, God's will is best and none better. His truth brings peace in this world of chaos.